after that niche. That where that niche is on your t-shirt. You eat, sleep, and breathe it, okay? And then, and only then, when you master that niche and you're making enough money to perhaps replace your current income, or you hit whatever income goal that you have for yourself, now you can rinse and repeat and take those same learnings from, let's say you were doing life insurance, maybe now you can go over and try auto insurance or healthcare or whatever that is.
This is The Fighting Entrepreneur, the podcast dedicated to entrepreneurs looking to change the world. Learn how to start, build, and scale a business in today's highly competitive business environment. Here's your host, The Fighting Entrepreneur, Anik Singhal.
What's up, you crazy fighting entrepreneurs? It's your favorite person in the whole wide world, Anik Singhal, back with another fight. We're in the ring today with a brilliant man who creates over $10,500 a day in revenue without ever selling a single thing, just with leads. It's so crazy. Yes, he's a master of the CPA world, and he's here today. We're going to have an awesome time with him. We're going to reveal everything we can. And my question to him is going to be, how can a complete noob, which I am honestly in the CPA world, go from zero to making thousands a day? All right, so get excited about that. Now, before we start that though, are you a member of Learn? Are you? Come on, LURN.com. We've got 500,000 members in there. What are you doing sitting on your butt? This next couple of months, next few months, we've got amazing features launching. It's free. We're turning it into a full-blown engaged community. So LURN.com. Be there or be square. Now, of course, onikpodcast.com to binge listen to our episodes. And do me a favor, if you're on YouTube right now, click the subscribe button, thumbs up icon, like icon, leave a comment. I don't know, grabbing the URL, paste it everywhere. Tell the world about this podcast. Please help me out with that. We've got some amazing content coming on this YouTube channel. So if you're listening on a podcast, make sure you check me out on YouTube. All right. So with all of that said, we're going to get to today's epic episode. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story about the person. All right. So give me 1 second. I just want to make sure that they're here and we'll get started. So our guest, his name is Sean, and Sean and I virtually met, gosh, has it been 2 years now already? Maybe a year and a half or two. Sean, it's been a while now already, huh?
Yeah. Got to be closing on 2 years now, I think.
Wow. All right. So let me tell everyone the story, because first of all, I'm going to get all the stuff out of it. Yes, Sean's brilliant. Yes, he's a marketer. Yet here's the thing I love about him is, for some reason, he wasn't in school the day they taught not to reinvent the wheel. He just was missing that day. So Sean decides, you know what? Every 6 months, I'm going to reinvent the wheel. I'm going to be the one that blazes ahead and finds new ways to generate online income. And man, has he impressed me. So here's the backstory of how we met. We have a mutual friend, someone I've known for 11, 12 years, have a massive amount of respect for. His name is Aiden. And Aiden and I were going to do something together. And I was like, Aiden, I'll do this, but I need a live case study generated. It's kind of half testing. I was like, you know, let's see how much they really believe in the system that they're talking about. And Aiden's like, yeah, no problem. Next thing I know, he introduces me to Sean. He says, hey, Sean will help you out. Sean's the real mastermind behind all of this. I said, all right, Mr. Sean, here's the deal. If we're going to make this happen, I need to go from zero to $1,000 a day within about 7 days. Fully expecting all kinds of excuses and reasons why that can't happen. And this is exactly what he sent me back on Skype. I wish I could take a picture of it. He said, that's it. No problem. And that was the day. Sean, I don't even know if you know this story. That was the day I was like, that's an interesting human being right there. Like, I want to get to know this person. Maybe I should have said zero to 10,000 in 7 days. Like, where's his meter? Sure enough, he hit it within a matter of days. I'm baffled watching him build a business live in front of me out of thin air using a very unique model. And guess what? A year later, we had a completely different challenge in a completely different way. And Sean shows right up. Oh, that's it. No problem. Obviously, now we've started talking a lot. He's become one of my go-to people when it comes to getting advice for marketing, for business, for generating income. And here he is today. The area that has intrigued me the most about his business, and I think he would even say he's the biggest expert in, is this world called CPA. It's a world where companies, thousands of offers out there, that will pay you just to generate leads, meaning you send traffic to a page that captures an email address, maybe a lead form, maybe a zip code, and they just pay you. It's fascinating. So easy, should be easy to make money with that, right? So I haven't done much of it just because, well, I just haven't. And I'm really intrigued in it. And Sean told me he's making over $10,500 a day with it. So that really got my attention. So here we are. And here I am. I hope you're paying very close attention because Sean's going to dig it deep into the system. Sean, man, thank you so much for being here. I'm pumped. You rock. I'm going to turn it over to you. I am a total noob. I don't know nothing. Help me build a CPA business and I'll probe and ask questions as we go.
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks for that awesome intro and thanks for having me. And you know, your demands of building a business in 7 days. I know I said I could do it, but a part of me was like, I don't know if I could pull that off. But, you know, nonetheless, we did it anyways. So CPA marketing, what I love about it is amongst all the businesses that I do have or are part of or own or whatever, you know, you don't have to sell anything. You don't have to find a product. You don't have to, you know, deal with customer service or returns or any of that stuff that you would with an e-commerce business. And there's nothing wrong with e-commerce businesses. I have lots of them. When it comes to CPA marketing at its, you know, simplest form, there's different ways to make money. Certainly there are offers that are like cost per sale where you'll get paid a commission if you make a sale on an offer. There's offers where you get paid for like mobile app installs and things like that. But where I sort of shine is on lead generation offers, right? So there are thousands of companies, as you've alluded to, in, you know, a wide variety of niches. Think auto insurance, life insurance, you know, you want to finance a car, you want to get healthcare, you want to get a home. There's companies out there that have no idea how to generate traffic. They don't know how to run ads on Google or Facebook or Microsoft or anything like that. And so they go to these networks and they say, hey, Mr. Network over here, I need some life insurance leads, but my company's not really good at running life insurance traffic. You guys have a network of affiliates out there that know how to get leads in this space. Go get them for me, okay? And so all you have to do, and I say all you have to do, there's more to it, of course, but at its simplest form, if you know how to generate traffic, be it Facebook, Google, native ads, different traffic sources out there, okay? All you gotta do is write a simple ad, send that person to a capture page that you own, okay? So you can take the lead in yourself. And then once that person opts into your capture page, you send them directly to one of these CPA offers. Let's just keep with the life insurance niche. You'd run a life insurance ad, send them to your life insurance page. And once they opt into your life insurance page, you send them to the life insurance offer. If they complete the form for that life insurance offer, you will get money instantly to your account. And essentially, as long as your ad cost is less than the offer pays you, you're in profit. And the next part to that is you generate the lead so you can then run some email marketing in the back end. Okay, so that is really it in its simplest forms. Okay, ad, capture page, offer, the end.
That's so crazy. It's so simple. And I always say this, right? So one of my mentors, his name is Scott. He taught me this way back. He was my entrepreneurship professor and then went on to become my mentor. And he taught me something. He said, if a business model does not fit on a napkin, it will not be successful. And I remember at that time learning simplicity is key. Of course, what did I do as all great entrepreneurs do? I ignored the crap out of that lesson, went on to try to defeat the lesson and make sure that I could try to prove it wrong. And where do I land up 18 years later? Heads bowed saying, well, that was a good lesson. And it's true. So this, the simplicity of it, everybody, do not mistake the simplicity for like ineffectiveness. This is awesome. Ad going to what he called capture page. A lot of you who follow me or are in the circle of profit, you'll know I call it an opt-in page. And then right from that, you don't even need a second page on your website. Your whole website is one page because what you do is once they give you their email address, you've copied and pasted a URL into the software. It automatically redirects them to your affiliate link to the website wherever you want them to fill out a lead form. And when they do fill the form out, you get paid. And it can be as simple as that. So, Sean, I'm going to break this down and ask you some questions. First question is about how much, like what, there's different kinds of leads and different kinds of payouts. Can you walk us through like, which one do you prefer and what are the different kinds out there? Like, you know, you could do zip code email. I mean, I don't know. There's various, you know better.
Yeah, I mean, back in the day when I first got started, what was so attractive to me was I first got started in CPA. I've been in business since 2013, CPA since 2015, so good 6 or 7 years in this space. Back in the day, there still might be these types of offers. They're just harder to find, but they used to be those zip code offers, and they pay you like $1 per zip code, right? So also back in the day when Facebook ads, it seems weird to say this in 2021, but Facebook ads just 6 years ago, it was in its infancy. You can get like 3-4 cent clicks in the USA. It was unbelievable. So you could pay like 5 cents a click and get paid 90 cents a dollar just for somebody to put in their zip code. It was the simplest thing ever. And so I got my start there back in the day, and you know, you'd spend $5,000 a day to make $10,000 every single day. No problem. I say that very like it's the easiest thing in the world. Looking back, compared to how the CPA world is today, where it's still easy, but there's a lot more steps, it was like the easiest thing ever. Now you fast forward 5 years though, you know, generally speaking, those types of offers, I wouldn't say they don't exist. They're just harder to come by. So, you know, really I look at it in two forms. If you're talking lead submit, there's like your short form lead submit, where essentially name, email, maybe sometimes phone number and zip code. Okay. Just like 3 or 4 questions, but definitely name, email. Those usually pay anywhere from $2 to $5. It depends. If you're getting name, email, phone number, they're going to pay a little bit more because the phone number is a barrier that some people just don't want to give. It's a lot more expensive to get email and phone number versus just email. So you have those like short form, you know, offers. We've all seen them. And then you have like your longer form submits, right? And that would be like, you know, for example, like a life insurance offer where they might want to know, you know, do you smoke? Maybe they even go as invasive as saying like, what's your social security number? You know, those types of things. And again, depending on how many questions they're asking, also, I suppose how lucrative the lead is to the buyer on the back end, you know, those can run anywhere from like 12 to even as high as like $50. Okay.
Wow.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the niche that I absolutely crush it in, which, you know, may or may not reveal here, we'll see, pays me almost $40 a lead. Okay. But it's definitely a longer form submit for sure. But the way you get around that is you just have really good targeted traffic. Like if you nail down your traffic, it's just as easy to get somebody to fill in a long form submit that pays you $50 as it is to get them to fill in a short form submit that pays you $2. Okay. So once you nail down that traffic part, I feel like there's no difference in offers. So as you get more experience, you definitely will, you know, target the higher paying offers because it's just more lucrative for you.
Got it. So you like to stick to the $20+ paid out long form type of offers. Okay. Now, I'm not going to ask you what niche you're in because quite frankly, I could and I'm sure you'd reveal it too, but I'm not going to do that. I'm going to ask you after the interview, but not on a public interview. What are you in one niche? Do you like to be in multiple niches? Like what would you recommend to your students who are starting off in this?
Yeah, I think like I've been in MLMs, I've been in e-com, blah, blah, blah. You always hear people tell you, you know, diversify your income, multiple income streams, all that stuff. And certainly there's a lot of truth to that. You know, I invest, I have an e-com and so on. I'm sure you do as well. But when you're starting out on a business, I think that is a horrible idea. I think the best thing you can do is you start one thing. Get really, really good at it. Become an expert. Master that niche. That niche is on your t-shirt. You eat, sleep, and breathe it. Okay. And then, and only then, when you master that niche and you're making enough money to perhaps replace your current income or you hit whatever income goal that you have for yourself, now you can rinse and repeat and take those same learnings from, let's say you were doing life insurance. Maybe now you can go over and try auto insurance or healthcare or whatever that is. But right now we currently operate in 3 different niches. We're moving into a 4th. But when I take a niche, like we usually take about, you know, a month to test it out and say, wow, this is either good or bad. I mean, I don't win them all, obviously. And if that's no good, it's in the trash. If it's good, I might take the next 90 days to try some scaling. And then, you know, it's about a 3 to 4 month process before we can take that to like, you know, really good levels. And then we just keep riding that wave up. And then maybe after like, you know, 4, 5, 6 months, I move on to the next niche. And that's sort of the process we go through when we do this stuff.
Love it. Got it. So it sounds like to me, making this work, the offer is a pretty big part of it. CPA networks can be a little bit tough to get into when someone's just starting. They don't really like to deal with a bunch of noobs. I'm just curious, what advice do you give around that? Are there certain networks that you'd be willing to share that you find people could go to that are maybe a bit more understanding or easier to work with? Any thoughts there on where, how can our students or people that are listening to this find offers like this?
Yeah. So really, in my view, there's like two types of networks, right? There's the Max Bounties of the world, which for many of the viewers may not have heard of them, but they're probably the largest CPA network out there. If not the largest, they're close to and probably the most well-known. They win awards at all the affiliate summits year in, year out, best network, all that stuff. And then you have like those boutique networks, right? Where they might specialize in a niche or two. They might have like 10 employees, you know, and their business model. It's not that they don't like to have, you know, new people off the street. It's just, that's not their business model. Their business model is they want, you know, 20 me's in their network, right? And then, you know, they take their 10, 20% margins off my numbers and they make a lot of money, okay? And that's sort of how the game goes. Now, when it comes to getting in a network, you're going to want to look for those Max Bounties of the world, because generally speaking, those guys, you know, like Max Bounty, for example, I'm actually really good friends with the CEO. There was just golfing with Matt 2 weeks ago up in Ottawa. They are more than happy to have just about anybody walk in. I asked him one day, like, what's your criteria? And he said, our only criteria for somebody to get into our network is that they're a real person.
I was going to say that they'd be breathing.
Yeah, right, right. And it's just because they're owned by like a venture capital firm. So their whole goal is growth, you know, so more people, more revenue, so on and so forth. So it's just a different business model from some of those boutique guys out there. So start with like a company like Max Bounty. Once you master a niche, then maybe you can branch out to networks that specialize in those niches that might even pay you more. They'll bend over backwards for you because they want your business desperately versus Max Bounty, who loves your business. But they have thousands and thousands and thousands of people in there, right? So it's just like a less hands-on experience.
You know why I love what you just said? If I had not asked you, for some reason, my automatic assumption would have been the exact opposite of what you said. I don't know why. I would have thought boutique-y, easier to talk to, you know, more friendly, more personable. But you're right. Boutique-y means less employees, smaller team. I want to deal with smaller people. Max Bounty's probably got a massive team. You can kind of get lost into the midst of things. And wow, great, great feedback. Love it. Okay, here's another question. Now, this one, the CEO of Max Bounty may not like you sharing. So hopefully he doesn't listen to this episode. Let's say I know one thing. Now, this might be not true anymore, but I know from like 5 years ago, 6 years ago, 10 years ago, whenever I used to go to affiliate summit a lot. I used to talk to these CPA networks all the time. Never did anything with them, but talked to them all the time. There was always room for negotiation. So they'll say $5 a lead, and you just knew, like, all right, dude, that's, you know, what I mean, like, going to have. Is that still the culture? Do you negotiate, or is it a little bit more CarMax style now, which is like, it is what it is? Like, we don't talk beyond that. Talk to everyone through that.
Yeah, there's definitely room for it. So the way that it works, right, is you have, just so people understand, I explain the whole model between you, the lead generator, Max Bounty, and what I call, you know, the back end advertiser, the buyer, right? Like, really, at its core, if there's a life insurance offer, me, Sean Agnew, could go to the life insurance company and be like, hey, I got great Google traffic. Just buy from me. Because a lot of people do, well, what do I need to go through Max Bounty for if I can just go find? Well, first of all, Sean Agnew isn't going to go to like Geico and be like, you want to work with me? Because they're going to be like, get the hell out of here. Who the hell is this guy? They're not going to respond to my emails, right? So that's number one. Number two, a lot of these advertisers take like 2 months, 3 months to pay. It's a big headache, right? So Max Bounties of the world, they sort of exist almost like a bank, right? They will put up all this cash because they know they're not getting paid for 90 days. They'll put up their reputation to go seek out all of these types of advertisers that are looking for us. And in return for that, you know, they'll take a margin of some sort, usually around, I mean, I don't know Max Bounty's margins, like Matt's ever told me this, but generally speaking, it's around 20 points, sometimes more, sometimes less. It really depends. So you can't just walk up to Max Bounty on day one and say, oh, you see this life insurance offer that's being paying 15 bucks? Can you just pay me 20? They're going to be like, no, right? But knowing that there's a margin in there, maybe about 20 points, okay, you know that they're probably getting somewhere between $18 to $20 from the advertiser themselves. So perhaps at scale, as you start to grow, you can say, hey, can you give me an extra dollar or two? And they'd be willing to do so because you're sending them a lot of volume. They don't want to lose you. And they're okay with like cutting into their margins a little bit, knowing that, you know, you're driving a lot of traffic and they just want to keep you happy. So if the business case makes sense for them, then sure, they'll definitely pay you more.
Super sound advice. I hope everyone here was listening that sometimes when you tell people that are just starting, like, hey, it's negotiable, they do exactly that. They roll in, they have about 13 visitors a day to their site, they beat their chest and they see something that's 15 and they're like, I want 20. And it's like, that's not what we meant by it's negotiable. We meant first come, prove yourself, and then you could try to negotiate. Or maybe you're already very big and you're looking to get, like, I'm sure Sean can walk into a new offer and say, hey, this is who I am, this is what I do, I know what I'm doing. I need a bump on that because I need to pay for traffic. So everyone, let's just say, start with what they've got, okay? And then you can ask for more later. Awesome. Let's talk a little bit about numbers and data. So this is, it's a risky point. I might lose some of you that are listening. And if I do, come back and listen again and try to visualize it. But the numbers and data here are going to be super key. And anyone who knows me knows I always say marketing is not creative, it's data driven. Anyone who understands that, you're going to be a millionaire. Anyone who doesn't, you're going to be broke. It's the fact of life. Actually, no, that's not true. If you treat marketing as purely creative, you're playing the lottery. So you might not be broke. You might be, you know, you might hit something that just really resonates. Okay, Sean. So the original funnel, let's say you never emailed your list. I have a good question. I'll ask it this way. Let's say you're building a list, but you never emailed them. So all you've got is add, opt-in, offer right then and there. Would you be profitable?
You can be, for sure. It's just the problem with that is on a day-to-day basis, right? If you're running Facebook ads, you know, anybody who's run Facebook ads knows this, right? Creatives, especially nowadays, they die out so fast. And so you're constantly having to come up with new creatives, a new image, a new video, a new this, a new that. One day you might be crushing it. And then the next day, I don't know, Facebook does an update or something and your ad just hangs. And so all of a sudden, you're spending $1,000 to make $2,000 and now you're spending $1,000 to make $500. And it's just this massive like up and down weight, right? So if you're not mailing at all, you have no protection, right? Search ads are a little bit more stable, like Google, for example. Generally speaking, if you're in life insurance and, you know, let's say one of your keywords is how to, you know, cheap life insurance in Baltimore or whatever, generally speaking, you're going to get like a steady flow of traffic every single day of people looking for the cheapest life insurance in Baltimore. And they're going to be highly targeted. Your metrics are going to be very consistent across the board. You're not going to have those waves like Facebook, but okay. Even still, it's definitely a lot more challenging without email to turn an ad into just straight profit on a day in, day out basis. So email marketing is critical, in my view, in any long-term CPA game. You don't know how many people, no matter how many colleagues I've seen, they come in, they do some sort of Nutra ad, or, you know, back in the day, there was all, I'm sure everybody has seen these types of ads, like the Dr. Oz advertorial or like Oprah or whatever for some sort of Garcinia Cambogia product, whatever. Those people, they come in, they make like 200 grand or something in a few months. And then like a year later, you talk to that guy, you're like, oh, you still doing CPA? They're like, nah, man, I'm out of CPA. It doesn't work anymore. And it's like, well, it's because you just did this like get rich quick kind of scheme, which can work for a couple months. And then, you know, it's out the window. With email, you're building your own like property that you own that you can mail day in, day out. It's consistent. I think it's critical.
I mean, it's like you're preaching to the choir here. Absolutely, right? It's an asset you own. I mean, you've got kids. You could pass that asset down to the kids. I mean, you could sell the asset, right? Okay, so I'm going to throw a question at you a little bit differently. You don't have, you know, you might not know the answer right out the bat. Give me a rough ballpark. It'll be helpful enough. Let's say in a month, your CPA business made you $100,000 profit. So profit, not revenue. This is your profit. What percentage of that would you say comes profit from the thank you page versus the email list?
Yeah, that's a great question. It's probably about 75-25 in terms of email. So I would guess that you're gonna have like 75,000 of that is coming off your email and like 25,000 is coming off your thank you page.
And that's what I thought. So everyone, if you're listening, what's happening is most of the thank you page revenue is being eaten up by the ad cost, which is a brilliant thing because it's paying for your email lead. It's basically giving you it's like someone paying you to get email leads, or worst case, you're breaking even to get the email lead. But what I wanted you to hear from him was how important emailing your list is. 3-to-1. Right? It's like almost like 3 times more important to email your list. And so many people out there, breaks my heart, that will even build a list and then stop emailing. And those of you who are just starting, this is the worst. You'll build your email list up to 1,500 people. And because you've not become a gajillionaire by that point, you feel like it doesn't work anymore and you stop mailing that list. That is the one that breaks my heart, because it's like the person who's digging for gold. Right? And they're like 3 digs away and they're like, oh, I'm tired now. This doesn't work. I'm done. And it's like, oh, if you had just dug 3 more times, you would have been, you'd have struck gold. So anyways, just a kind of a side rant from my side. Okay. So let's keep talking about these numbers. Rough ballpark in the CPA world, what are you finding cost per click and cost per lead is, so that people know a benchmark to go for?
Sure. Just on that point, I love that analogy you made. Everybody, whenever I talk to any students that I have in this space, have you ever seen that? You've seen the meme and the miner and the guy's like mining for diamonds and he gets so close and he turns away.
Same thing. Yeah.
I get that analogy all the time to people, right? Yeah. Most times when people fail, it's like they're so close. But anyways, CPC, CPLs, again, that's going to vary on what type of offer you have. Generally speaking, the shorter form offers, okay, that are like, you're going to get paid, I don't know, $3 for a name and email, are going to cost a lot less than if you're asking for a lot more information. So it's going to depend on the niche.
Sean, just be clear. I meant cost per click and then cost per opt-in, not necessarily what it's costing you to get the actual CPA lead. Yeah. The first side of that.
Yeah. I think, okay. So okay. on a cost per click basis, right? When you have those like simpler offers, it really depends. I can speak more from like a Google Microsoft perspective, because that's where I do most of my advertising. I still do Facebook, but it's definitely much smaller. You're probably gonna pay somewhere in the range of like 40 cents ish a click. And then if you can get your opt-in rate up to like 40% or so, which is definitely possible, or higher as you optimize it, your cost per lead should come in at a dollar or less. Now, if you're doing a higher ticket sort of cost per lead that's paying you 20, 30, 40 bucks, your click cost might be a little bit higher, because generally speaking, those niches are going to be more competitive. They might even have, actually, say you're in life insurance, you might actually be running ads against a big life insurance company. I'm not in America, so I don't know them off the top of my head, but Globe Life or whatever's out there. And so you're competing with legit advertisers, right? It's not just competing with people like me. And so you might pay like $1 to $1.50 a click. Your lead cost might be more like $3 to $5, but you're getting paid 20, 30, 40 bucks on the back end. So it works out to the same sort of ratios, if that makes sense.
No, it makes a lot of sense. Thank you. It was amazing data. Yeah. Again, those of you who are listening, this is gold. This is like, if you were thinking of going into the CPA business, this is absolute solid gold. Go back, listen again. The data is the key. Last piece of data. So you said, hey, let's go with the dollar and opt-in analogy because it's easy math. If you got 100 people to opt in, and short form, let's stick to short form, and then I'll come back and ask long form. Roughly what percentage of people would you like to see immediately fill out the short form? So if I had 100 opt-ins without the email list, just thinking immediate, like that gives you a good idea of like, hey, this is a good offer. What's the percentage you're looking for?
Yeah, if I'm just starting out, I don't just expect, and this is hopefully a good tip for everyone too. Like, look, if you throw $100 at an offer, don't just expect $1,000 to fly out of the sky. You know what I mean? Like, you might throw in $100. The other day I was starting a new niche and I spent $250. I made $30 back. Just throwing that out there that I still fail hard quite often. Okay. But you learn from the failures and that's how you get your successes, right? But, you know, a general rule of thumb, if I spent $100 on day one and I was able to make like $50 or $60 back, I would literally be super excited and fall out of my chair, because I know with just a few days later of optimization, I can easily get that to the point where I'm spending $100 to make $100. And then with another few days after, I can get that to a point where I'm spending $100 to make $150. So if you can get on like day one or two, if you're at like a 50% loss or better, you know, in the back of your mind, with just optimizing your land, there's so many things you can optimize: your landing page, your ads, if you're doing search ads, keywords, some of them are good, some of them are bad, devices, maybe it's better on desktop, maybe it's better on mobile. So once you make those sort of micro optimizations over a week or two, you can easily turn a 50% loss into a 50% gain.
Wow. Love it. Love it. All right. Awesome. I want to jump ahead because we're definitely, I mean, this has been impeccable. So we're going a little bit longer on time, but I'm not going to stop just because of that. Before I get to sources of traffic, because that's kind of like the big finale question I really want to talk about. What do you promote to that email list? So let's say someone came in on a life insurance. What's the longevity of that email list? Am I going to keep promoting them life insurance offers for like 6 months? Because at some point you're going to assume that they probably got what they wanted. And once you get life insurance, you're kind of out of the market for life insurance. So how do you monetize that list? Do you just send them other offers? Do you keep it generic? Like, how long, or do you just know, hey, you know what, that list, like, it's going to die in 2 weeks. So just keep hammering life insurance offers and nothing else.
Well, the funny thing is I've done studies on this. You know, I come from a background where I was in statistical analysis for a big tech firm here. So I'm a data-driven guy. You made a good point about creativity. I'm the least creative person on the planet, and I've done a boatload of cash in marketing. And it's just data. Data tells you, that's it. I don't care what's on the other end. Just look at your data point. And something like 60% of your revenue does happen with your freshest leads in the CPA space on average, okay? So that still leaves you with almost half the pie to make money on down the road. And some of these leads, like something like 10% of your leads will stay with you for 90 days, okay? So you still have a boatload of these leads that are ready and willing to open what you have to give them. So yes, obviously if somebody's looking for life insurance, the natural thing to email them is other life insurance offers, 100%. But to your point, you know, you got to mail them other stuff. So how do you determine how to mail other things? Well, obviously you can use a little bit of common sense. For example, if somebody was looking for life insurance, you know, they might be interested in auto insurance or healthcare insurance or something like that. You test it out and see, you know, maybe you send an auto insurance offer out and it just bombs, but then you send a healthcare insurance offer, you're like, wow, this does really well. Okay. So that's one way that you can do it. Talk to your affiliate manager. You know, if you're at Max Bounty or any company, you'll have an account manager. Okay. Those account managers are your best friend. All you need to do is say, hey, listen, I've been crushing this life insurance offer. You guys have access to all your other publishers and affiliates there. What are they emailing? Okay. You don't have to tell me their secrets, but what kind of offers are they mailing that I could mail to this list? And the final thing, which is my favorite thing in the world, is get on your competitors' list. See what they're doing. All right. I'm on Onyx list for stuff, you know, and I watch what he's doing. Okay. Mm-hmm. And you don't copy what Onyx is doing, but you get an idea. If every other marketer in your niche in life insurance, for example, was all mailing, you know, auto loan offers, for example, then it stands to reason that they're making money off auto loan offers and you should do the same thing.
I love it. I mean, if you're running ads to build a list, go click all the other ads and put your email address 100%. In and put it into and watch them. That right there. Boom. I mean, in 2 weeks, you're going to know exactly what people are doing. Second was stop trying to think about it. Ask the account manager, because guess what? They have a bunch of other affiliates who do life insurance email list building, and they'll tell you, oh, here are the offers that do well. Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. All right, as we segue, man, this has been awesome, Sean. Thank you, by the way. Your answers are super precise, concise, to the point. I love it. Helps me kind of just move along and ask really, really awesome media information. So as we move into the last part of this interview, right, traffic, I want to ask you a question. We've talked a lot about paid traffic, paying for traffic, and I can already hear some people screaming in their head all those crappy paradigms that I hate, but that's for a separate day. I'll yell at them later. But they asked a question, can I do free traffic? So what's your thoughts? Is there any hope? Do you help students start with any kind of free traffic initially? Or is it like, guys, in CPA world, it's a waste of time?
In CPA world, it's a waste of time. I wish I had a better answer.
Fair enough.
I wish I had a better answer.
It's a good and honest and truthful answer. And I want to explain to people why. I think I know why, Sean, so you tell me if you agree. Free traffic is the good and bad. If it's free, it ain't coming in volume. Not initially. It could, if you want volume of free traffic, it will take you months, if not years. Okay? So it's, now in CPA, it's a volume game. Why? Because you'll get paid a few bucks to 30 bucks a lead, right? So what we've always taught, this is what I'm teaching lately now. If you are selling something that's a very high ticket, free can work really well. Why? Because free might be low in volume, but it's damn good in quality. It's usually people that really like, because they've watched you on social media, they watched a video, they saw you, they engaged with you, they searched something on Google, read content, came to you. I mean, there's, you know, they listen to a podcast of you on someone else's podcast. Like, you just have this, like, they're just more hyper hungry. So guess what? They're ready to buy coaching, consulting, all these higher $5,000, $6,000, $7,000, $10,000 offers. And you don't need many. I mean, if you can get 10 people to book a call with you, you could sell a $5,000 coaching plan like this. You don't need to get 10 people to book a call with you. You need, like, I don't know, 100 leads, right? But 100 leads or 200 leads in the CPA world will make you like 50 bucks. And so you need volume and you need it fast, and that's why paid. That's my explanation. Sean, do you agree with that? Did I say it right?
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I first got started in the MLM space. So that was, I had no money, right? And it was great. You know, I'd make YouTube videos or whatever and just put my, you know, elbow grease into it and get a ton of, I made really good money off free traffic. But in the CPA space, I mean, sure, you can go post in Facebook groups or go on Craigslist or whatever. But to Onyx's point, even if you were somehow able to generate a couple hundred leads a day doing that, I mean, I don't see that as a scalable model. You know, it's nice for chump change. You might make a couple hundred bucks a month, but I mean, that's kind of it.
I think the maximum I would tell students is if you don't believe it for some reason, and you need to see some proof, okay, fine, go ahead. Go out there, generate 100, 150 leads. You'll probably make 50, 60, 70 bucks, and then you can't argue with Sean. You know he's telling the truth, and then go do it his way, which is a smart way, which is paid traffic. So real quick, Sean, without making this into an entire paid traffic course, what are your favorite sources of traffic? Now, hold on, no. I'm going to ask this question differently. Your favorite sources of traffic might be different than what you tell a beginner to do. So I asked the question, what is your favorite source of traffic for a beginner coming into this?
My favorite source of traffic for myself and a beginner is the same, and it stops and ends with search traffic, paid search specifically. I started on Facebook, I spent millions on Facebook, and it's just evolved to the point, it works, obviously. If it didn't work, they would make the gazillions of dollars they do. It's just, in my view, right, if I'm a beginner coming in off the street, if I'm going to do Facebook traffic, it's a lot that goes into it. You got to know how to come up with creatives, targeting audiences, you know, making lookalikes. There's a lot more complexities that go into a Facebook ad. A search ad is actually, and also with Facebook, you are doing what's called interrupt marketing. People don't go to Facebook looking for a life insurance offer. They're going in to argue politics or debate whether you should wear a COVID mask inside or not, or whatever people do on Facebook, right? And on the other hand, when you search traffic, somebody's going to google.com or bing.com or yahoo.com, and they're literally typing in, you know, how to get the cheapest life insurance. So if your ad pops up in front of those individuals, it's the most hyper-targeted intent marketing traffic you can get. Not only that, to write a search ad, you guys have all seen these. Go to Google when you're off this call and type in anything. You'll see the ad right there. It's a 30-character headline, like best life insurance, Baltimore, right? Boom, that's it. You can't say anything more. You only get 30 characters. You really just can't. You can't even be creative with that. And then your description is 80 characters. Get the best life insurance in Baltimore from $49 a month. Click here. It's literally the simplest ad that you could ever. You don't have to be creative. There's only a certain amount you can say in 80 characters, right? So, you know, I think for a beginner, it's the best traffic that you can possibly get. You're going to be more likely to get higher opt-in rates. You're going to be likelier to get better quality leads that come on the network. Because one thing we didn't talk about, you can send 100 life insurance leads and get paid, let's say $15 a lead, make $1,500. But what if the advertiser calls all these leads and they're all garbage? Like nobody wants life insurance. Then all of a sudden the network comes to you and says, well, you can't run this offer anymore. They didn't like your traffic. I've never had that happen on a search traffic offer ever, because people want what you have to offer. You're not interrupting their day like Facebook or like native ads or, you know, Snapchat, TikTok, whatever the heck. I don't even know if they have ads on Snapchat and TikTok, but search traffic, man. Search is king. I love that stuff. And I switched my business to that in 2018 and I've never looked back.
Wow. That's me. I was not expecting that answer. So I love it. So Google, Bing, Yahoo, those are the three?
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. Any particular order preference for someone who's just starting?
Yeah. So Bing and Yahoo kind of amalgamated together to become Microsoft Ads. There used to be the Bing Ads Network and Yahoo was Gemini. And then Bing sort of bought up all of Yahoo and now they're just called Microsoft Ads. I like to start there. The traffic's going to be lower, you know, because who the heck goes to Bing.com or Yahoo.com? Nobody. Y'all go to Google, right? But there's still a large amount of population out there that uses Bing and Yahoo and AOL, actually, which is crazy to me. I remember the AOL, like you got mail, like that, the CDs. But people still use AOL. It's crazy. But, you know,
that's awesome.
The traffic's going to be less. It is still going to be a large amount. But if you do make mistakes, for example, they're very lenient. It's like, hey, well, you know, you got to fix this ad here. You screwed up, change this, change that. If you go straight to Google, the traffic is intense. Like literally, you know, you can spend $1,000 in 2 minutes and be like, whoa, what the heck? But they're a lot more professional, stricter of a network. So if you're just starting out, I always recommend, you know, you start with Microsoft, get your feet wet, make sure you learn, because you probably make a couple of mistakes along the way. As you get really good over there, maybe a couple of weeks, move over to Google. The traffic is better. It's super high volume. And like 95% of my traffic nowadays is run off Google. But I would say start on Microsoft. It's just an easier, more forgiving platform for somebody new.
Man, love it. This is powerful stuff. I love it. Sean, do you have a place where people can, I know you don't really teach this necessarily face front, but I mean, do you post somewhere? Is there a list? Is there a social media? Or do we just have to twist your arm to publish at Learn here to get some more content out of you? How can people follow you?
You can twist my arm, I'm sure, but you could follow me on Facebook, facebook.com/ Sean C. Agnew. And it's also my IG handle as well, Sean C. Agnew. So yeah, you can follow me on there. And
all right, everyone, I recommend you do so. Yeah. You can also go to onicpodcast.com. We'll make sure we put the URL there. But listen, Sean, this has been an epic episode, man. Thank you so much. For those of you who are listening, this is your opportunity. Go out and do. Okay, if you're more interested in this, go research, start YouTubing, start watching more videos about it. But in the end, this is what we teach, right? Build an email list, find a great offer, drive traffic to that email list, and then drive traffic to that offer. Keep it simple. This is what I've been doing for 18 years. I didn't do it with CPA. I did it with other stuff. Sean's crushing it with CPA. That's going to definitely be a big part of my attention moving forward in other things as well, especially because I'm going to get into the financial space soon. And CPA can be pretty big in that space. So with that said, Sean, thank you very much. Thank you to all of you who are listening. Hey, by the way, make sure you check out my podcast, onicpodcast.com. Make sure you're a member at learn.com, LURN.com. And as I always say, when life pushes you, what do? Stand straight, smile, and push it the heck back, everybody. See you later. Bye.
Thanks for listening to The Fighting Entrepreneur with your host, Onyx Singhal.